The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from mostly the American Council of the Blind.org. This episode is going to be almost entirely legal, so button up your britches. Air Carrier Access Amendments Act, Reintroduction and Speak For Campaign, posted June 25th. The Air Carrier Access Amendments Act was recently reintroduced in Congress. Representative Dina Titus of Nevada and Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin have reintroduced the bill in the House and Senate, respectively. This legislation would require the Secretary of Transportation to assess civil penalties for violations and refer patterns of discrimination to the Department of Justice. Additionally, this bill would grant individuals with disabilities whose rights are violated by an air carrier a private right of action in civil court. That means individuals would be able to sue the air carriers directly, which is not permitted under current law. The House press release for the bill reintroduction can be found at https://titus.house/news/document/ASPX-query-document-ID=5912. The Senate press release for the bill reintroduction can be found at https://www.baldwin.senate.gov/news/press-releases/baldwin-duckworth-lead-bill-2-protect-and-expand-the-rights-of-airplane-passengers-with-disabilities. The text of the bill can be found at another website in congress.gov, and a one-pager on the bill can be found at baldwin.senate.gov, and I may read that next. Use the Speak For link here to ask your Congress members to support the Air Carrier Access Amendments Act. https://5812s4t query ts=17824018822. From baldwin.senate.gov, the Air Carrier Access Amendments Act, sponsored by Senator Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Duckworth, and Representative Dina Titus. For 40 years, the Air Carrier Access Act, ACAA, has prohibited discrimination based on disability in air travel. Despite this progress, too many travelers with disabilities encounter significant barriers, such as damaged assistive devices and wheelchairs, delayed assistance, unclear communications, and lack of onboard accommodations. The Air Carrier Access Amendments Act will protect and expand the rights of air passengers with disabilities and improve air travel safety by, bullets, requiring the Secretary of Transportation to assess civil penalties for Air Carrier Access Act violations and refer patterns of discrimination to the Department of Justice, granting individuals with disabilities a private right of action in civil court, and expressing a sense of Congress that legislation is necessary to ensure that individuals with disabilities have adequate remedies available when air carriers violate the ACAA. Supporting organizations, Paralyzed Veterans of America, Muscular Dystrophy Association, MDA, American Cochlear Implant Alliance, ACI Alliance, Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, DREDF, American Legion, IMALS, American Council of the Blind, Cure SMA, United Spinal Association, Periodic Paralysis Association, Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Student Veterans of America, SVA, The ARC, Epilepsy Foundation of America, Hearing Loss Association of America. Continuing with posts on ACB.org, Supreme Court declines to take key voting rights case. June 23rd, the United States Supreme Court further weakened the Voting Rights Act by refusing to take the case of Arkansas United versus Thurston regarding whether Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act is enforceable by private individuals and organizations. The Eighth Circuit Court decision says that the individuals and groups do not have a private right of action to enforce Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act. A private right of action is a legal tool which allows an individual or organization to file a civil lawsuit based on an alleged violation of the law. Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act allows voters with a disability or inability to read or write to receive assistance with voting from a person of their choice. The Eighth Circuit Court ruled that only attorneys general have the right to sue to enforce Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act, and that no private right of action exists. This decision is in opposition to years of legal precedent and weakens the Voting Rights Act, because until now, Section 208 of the Act has largely been enforced through private lawsuits from individuals and organizations, not state attorneys general. The Supreme Court declined to take the case, which means that the Eighth Circuit decision stands. The Eighth Circuit includes Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. You can read the NPR article about the case at www.npr.org/2026/06/22/NX-S1-5863532/Supreme-Court-Voting-Rights-Act-Private-Right-Arkansas. Clicking on that link and pursuing the parts I've already read, at issue in the case, a private right of action. In May, shortly after undermining Section 2 protections against racial discrimination in redistricting, the High Court decided not to weigh in on what the legal world calls a private right of action, sending back to lower courts two cases brought by Black voters in Mississippi and Native American voters in North Dakota. For decades, enforcement of these sections of the Voting Rights Act has mainly been driven by lawsuits by private individuals and groups. But after conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch issued a single-paragraph opinion in 2021 questioning a private right of action, Republican officials in multiple states have raised a novel legal argument. Only the U.S. Attorney General, they contend, has the right to bring lawsuits under these parts of the Voting Rights Act. Such an interpretation of the law is likely to lead to a dramatic decline in voting rights lawsuits because of the Justice Department's limited resources and shifting priorities under different presidential administrations. The case that the justices decided not to take up was brought by the immigrants advocacy group Arkansas United, which has provided Spanish language interpreters at polling sites to assist voters with limited English proficiency. The group challenged an Arkansas law that bans a person who is not a poll worker from helping more than six voters cast ballots. In 2022, a federal judge ruled that the state law violates Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act. But after GOP state officials appealed, an Eighth Circuit panel found last year that private groups like Arkansas United do not have the right to bring this kind of lawsuit, partly because such a right is not explicitly spelled out in the words of the Voting Rights Act. So far, the Eighth Circuit, which also found that there is no private right of action under Section 2, is the only federal appeals court to break with decades of precedent on this legal issue. In a statement, Arkansas Republican Attorney General Tim Griffin called the Supreme Court's refusal to take up the Eighth Circuit panel's ruling a victory for the state, and applauded the High Court for following the plain meaning of the language in the Voting Rights Act. The Supreme Court may take up this issue in a future case. The brief, unsigned under the High Court released Monday, did not explain why the justices decided not to review the Eighth Circuit panel's ruling in the Arkansas case. But in a court filing last month, Republican officials in Arkansas pointed out that no other federal appeals court has issued a ruling that specifically addresses whether private groups and individuals can sue under Section 208. That, the Arkansas Republican officials argued, means there is no disagreement between appeals courts for the Supreme Court to resolve. Arkansas United's attorneys at the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, however, countered that there is a clear conflict between the Eighth Circuit's decision and the unbroken line of cases allowing private litigants to vindicate their rights under Section 208. This limited case law regarding private enforcement of Section 208 does not mean that the circuit split is non-existent or that the issue is unimportant, the MALDEF attorneys wrote in their court filing. Instead, it demonstrates just how much of an anomaly the Eighth Circuit's decision is. Thomas Sands, S-A-E-N-Z, MALDEF's president and general counsel, tells NPR that the civil rights group now plans to eventually ask the Supreme Court to review a private right of action under Section 208 through a Missouri-based lawsuit, which was put on hold while the appeals process for the Arkansas case played out. The case led by Missouri Protection and Advocacy Services, which advocates for voters with disabilities, challenges a state law that bans a person from helping more than one disabled voter or voter who cannot read or write for each election, unless the person providing assistance is a poll worker or the voter's immediate family member. We will attempt to move it forward, and these precedents will be cited to stop us, Sens says. We will move up and hope that the Supreme Court will see that it needs to stop this situation, where only one circuit in the entire country has taken a contrary view to everyone else and foreclosed private enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. Article edited by Benjamin Swasey, S-W-A-S-E-Y. Also on ACB.org, also on June 25th, Senate resolution introduced reaffirming the integration mandate. Last week, ACB announced that the Office of Legal Counsel at the Department of Justice released a memo regarding the integration mandate. Today, several senators have introduced a resolution reaffirming the integration mandate. The text of the resolution can be found at www.duckworth.senate.gov/, and there's more. The press release from Senator Duckworth's office can be found at another link for her office, and I will be reading that next. From Duckworth.senate.gov on June 25th, Duckworth, Schumer, Durbin lead Senate Democrats in introducing resolution to reaffirm promise of Olmstead, protect disability rights, and condemn Trump administration's latest attack. Senate Democrats' resolution comes after Donald Trump's Department of Justice aims to upend landmark Supreme Court ruling in Olmstead v. LC that ensures Americans with disabilities can live full independent lives in their communities. Dateline Washington, D.C. In the wake of the Trump administration's latest attack against the disability community, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, and Senate Committee on the Judiciary Ranking Member Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois, led Senate Democrats today in introducing a resolution that would protect disability rights and uphold the true promise of the Supreme Court's landmark Olmstead decision, a ruling that has protected Americans with disabilities' right to live full, independent lives in their own homes and communities. This effort comes after Donald Trump's Department of Justice, DOJ, issued a memo that undermines Olmstead's key protections and would put our nation on a dangerous path that allows Americans with disabilities to be forced into institutions against their will. The resolution affirms the Olmstead decision, calls on the Trump administration to rescind this misleading slip opinion, and reverse the biggest Medicaid cut in history, among other actions that have put care for the disability community at risk. Along with Duckworth, Schumer, and Durbin, the resolution is co-sponsored by U.S. Senators Bernie Sanders, Independent Vermont, Ron Wyden, W-Y-D-E-N, Democrat, Oregon, Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat, New York, Patty Murray, Democrat, Washington, Richard Blumenthal, Democrat, Connecticut, Chris Van Hollen, Democrat, Maryland, Edward Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, Michael Bennett, Democrat, Colorado, Ben Ray Lujan, Democrat, New Mexico, Andy Kim, Democrat, New Jersey, Maggie Hassan, Democrat, New Hampshire, and Lisa Blunt, Rochester, Democrat, Delaware. The Trump administration's memo is an outrageous attack on the rights and independence of the disability community, said Senator Duckworth. We cannot allow Trump's DOJ to drag us back to a time when Americans with disabilities were institutionalized and ripped away from their families. Our resolution sends a clear message: we will not tolerate violations of the fundamental rights of the disability community. Olmstead was a promise that Americans with disabilities would never be forced out of their homes, stripped of their independence, or warehoused away from their communities, said Leader Schumer. Trump's weaponization of the DOJ to threaten the basic rights of disabled Americans is a morally bankrupt attempt to break that promise and drag America back to a shameful era of segregation and institutionalization. Not only does it violate decades of legal precedent, but it also flies in the face of who we are as a nation. The dignity, freedom, and civil rights of all Americans are not up for debate, and this dangerous and cruel opinion must be rescinded immediately. Everyone deserves to live with dignity, a belief that was upheld by the Supreme Court in the 1999 Olmstead decision. People with disabilities should be able to access the care they need while living in and participating in the community, said Senator Durbin. It's appalling that DOJ, under pressure from Stephen Miller, is now attempting to strip people of their right to receive community-based care. This is yet another attempt by Trump and Republicans to roll back long-standing protections for people with disabilities, and my colleagues and I won't stand for it, said Senator Wyden. I've spent my career fighting to protect Americans' freedoms and health care rights, and I'll continue pushing back against Trump's attacks on the freedom of people with disabilities to live and thrive in their communities. The Justice Department's memo arguing that people with disabilities don't have a right to home and community-based services is wrong, said Senator Gillibrand. It is not just misguided, but a direct attack on the basic freedom enjoyed by those like the more than 1.2 million disabled adults living autonomously in New York. I will continue to work tirelessly to make sure Olmstead is upheld and Americans with disabilities retain their right to independence. People with disabilities are our family members, classmates, colleagues, and neighbors. They enrich our lives and are key members of our communities. But this administration's cuts to Medicaid, false accusations of health program fraud, and undermining of legal protections threaten their rights and autonomy. People with disabilities deserve to live with dignity and respect in the setting that's right for them, said Senator Markey. We cannot allow the Trump administration to roll back our civil rights and attack Americans' liberties. The weaponization of the DOJ and the Trump administration's attempts to strip Americans with disabilities of their right to live with dignity and independence in their communities is shameful. Together, we will continue to fight for the civil rights and liberties of people with disabilities and ensure they can live freely without the threat of discrimination or institutionalization, said Senator Van Hollen. The Olmstead decision affirmed that Americans with disabilities could live independent, full lives, said Senator Bennett. This should not be controversial. We should focus on making real progress for disabled Americans, not clawing back rights that we have already fought for. Over the past year and a half, I've heard from countless members of the disability community who feel targeted by this administration. They've seen their health care taken away through massive cuts to Medicaid, and now this opinion threatens to strip away their civil and human rights. We cannot let this happen, said Senator Kim. Every American deserves the freedom and dignity to live independently and be part of their community. For decades, the Olmstead decision has helped protect those rights for people with disabilities, said Senator Lujan. Now, the Trump administration wants to move us backward and undo the progress that has been made. I am proud to join my colleagues in reaffirming our commitment to inclusion and ensuring people with disabilities have the support they need to live where they choose. Senator Duckworth's resolution affirms what the disability community has always known. Olmstead isn't a footnote in case law. It's a promise, said President and CEO of American Association of People with Disabilities, AAPD, Maria Towne. Our disabled ancestors fought too hard and sacrificed too much to enshrine our rights to live, work, and belong in our own communities. We are not going back. Congress must match this resolution with real action. Full funding for home and community-based services isn't a budget line item. It's the difference between independence and institutionalization for millions of disabled people. AAPD firmly supports this resolution and urges every member of Congress to fund the services that make Olmstead's promise real. The Trump administration's discriminatory memo comes on the 27th anniversary of the landmark Olmstead ruling, which has, for nearly three decades, protected Americans with disabilities from unjustified institutionalization. Trump's DOJ itself acknowledged that last week's slip opinion was out of step legal consensus. Full text of the resolution can be found on Senator Duckworth's website. Disability Rights NC weighed in on June 22nd. Today marks the 27th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark decision in Olmstead v. LC, which affirmed that the unjustified segregation of people with disabilities constitutes discrimination under Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. The Olmstead decision reinforced the right of people with disabilities to live, work, and fully participate in their communities rather than be unnecessarily confined to institutions. More than two decades later, it remains one of the most significant disability rights rulings in our nation's history. As we mark this important day, we want to call attention to a recent U.S. Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel memo that has generated significant discussion by challenging long-standing interpretations of Olmstead. Read the summary at the hot link from the National Disability Rights Network, NDRN. The nonprofit membership organization for the Federally Mandated Protection and Advocacy Systems, PNAs, below to learn more, and please stay tuned for updates. On June 18, 2026, the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel issued a slip opinion that directly attacks decades of progress toward equality, inclusion, and community living for people with disabilities. We strongly condemn this attempt to undermine the fundamental principle that people with disabilities have the right to live, work, learn, and receive services in their communities rather than be segregated in institutions. For generations, advocates, families, and people with disabilities have fought to dismantle systems of isolation and exclusion. This opinion rejects that hard-won progress and disregards the experiences of millions of Americans whose lives have been transformed by community-based services and supports. Although this opinion does not overturn Olmstead v. LC, repeal the Americans with Disabilities Act, or invalidate decades of federal court precedent, it sends a deeply troubling message about the administration's intentions. The opinion is inconsistent with longstanding interpretations of federal disability rights law embraced by courts and administrations of both parties. By questioning the legal foundations of the integration mandate, it threatens the protections that help people avoid unnecessary institutionalization, remain connected to their families, secure stable housing, access education and employment, and participate fully in civic life. At a time when community-based supports are already under strain, this effort risks reversing decades of bipartisan progress and weakening one of the most successful civil rights movements in our nation's history. Our vision is rooted in hope and in the belief that people with disabilities belong in their communities with the supports, opportunities, and dignity they deserve. And we will not go back, said Marlene Sallow, S-A-L-L-O, Executive Director. We reject any effort to return to systems that separate people with disabilities from their communities or limit their choices and independence. We will continue to defend the protections and promises of Olmstead, the ADA, and Section 504. Protect the services that make community living possible and stand with people with disabilities and their families in the fight for equality, dignity, and self-determination. The work of community integration is not over, and our commitment to keeping people in their communities and homes remains as strong as ever. And lastly, here is an article by Corey Turner on NPR.org regarding the case memo. DOJ memo stokes fear among disability advocates of a return to institutionalization. Dateline June 20th. The Justice Department released a memo that quietly calls into question decades of civil rights protections for Americans with disabilities. I've already read the prologue on other posts. What the law says, this new memo calls into question what legal experts say has been settled law for decades. Both Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act and Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act have long been interpreted to require that states provide services to Americans with disabilities in the most integrated setting appropriate. In short, institutionalization should be a last resort. In 1999, a case testing these protections made it to the U.S. Supreme Court in Olmstead v. L.C. Two women with mental disabilities sued Georgia, arguing that the state had failed its obligation to provide services that would allow them to return to their communities and that it had continued to institutionalize the women instead, thus violating their civil rights. The court agreed that states have a legal responsibility to provide support that integrates disabled Americans into their communities, and for nearly three decades, courts across the country have embraced that interpretation. By 2023, 8.4 million Americans were receiving home and community-based services through Medicaid. The new memo, written by Lenora Pettit, P-E-T-T-I-T, Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Legal Counsel, argues that while federal law prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability, it does not impose an integration mandate on states to provide these community services. What's more, the memo argues, the Supreme Court's Olmstead decision held only that a state cannot institutionalize such patients without justification. But the memo adds, what counts as adequate justification remains an open question. At one point, Pettit acknowledges the novelty of this reading. We recognize that this view of Olmstead's import is out of step with the common understanding of that decision within the federal courts. Why it matters. The United States government, and since 1977, has taken the position that federal law includes an integration mandate that requires services to be provided in the most integrated setting appropriate, says Professor Barkoff, who worked in the Obama Justice Department leading its Olmstead enforcement efforts. For decades, Barkoff adds, both Republican and Democratic administrations, including the first Trump administration, proactively enforced federal disability law and repeatedly brought actions against states that rely too heavily on care in large segregated settings that the law says should be a last resort. The courts and Congress decided that institutionalization should be a last resort because people's personal liberty is at stake, says Jennifer Mathis of the Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law. Who you can see, when you can go out, when you can eat, what you eat, who your roommate is, who you talk to, what your environment is, and for so many people who are institutionalized, their life is literally a hallway. I have been on those hallways with people. It's deadening. This memo signifies a dramatic change in the U.S. government's official position. We are incredibly concerned that the message coming from the federal government in this memo is, it's fine to go back to the days that people were placed in institutions, even though they can be served in the community, even though they want to be, and even though it's more cost-effective, Barkoff says. The timing matters, too. The memo arrives as a new case, Texas v. Kennedy, is making its way through the courts. The case, brought by Texas and several other states, is essentially a fresh challenge to the integration mandate on states. With this memo, the federal government is aligning itself with the plaintiffs in the case. Though Mathis cautions, it's important to understand that this memo is not the law, that the Justice Department can't change the law. Congress makes laws, not agencies. For now, it's not clear what the immediate impact of the memo will be, although it seems the Justice Department will stop its enforcement efforts around Olmstead. Why now? The Justice Department memo appears to be the latest salvo in a broader effort that began last year. There's more on NPR.org. I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you were informed. Please join us next week on Doris Hyde Reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.